I wanted to ask you about this, and I know that that you did bring it up. So this is it's a coincidence, and it's a good one in this case. Len Bugard, the father of Derek Bugard. We know Derek very well. Obviously, played a lot in Minnesota, so we saw him a ton here in Calgary. Goes to the New York Rangers by way of a free agent, and then tragic passing with painkillers and whatnot. You and everybody in with Primetime Sports, Len Bugard, his father, was on the show not long ago, and it had a lot of people talking. I know that he's been out with a new book talking about a number of different things, and he's a fascinating guy, and it was a kind of a sobering interview, I guess.
Yeah, two separate things, actually, because the book is actually by John Branch, who's from the New York Times, who wrote the pieces about Derek Bugard in the Times after he died. So that book came out this fall, and Len Bugard is certainly cooperated with John Branch. And we had John Branch on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I'd reviewed that book for the New York Times, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's a great book. After we had him on, Len Bugard got in contact with me, Derek's father, and just kind of let me know that his investigation into his son's death is continuing. And Len is a former retired RCMP officer, living in Ottawa now, but he's a cop, and his way of kind of trying to deal with his son's death is to trying to get to the bottom of what happened to him. So Len contacted me, and we exchanged some stuff, and then last night actually he came on Primetime Sports for the better part of an hour. You can find the interview at Sportsnet.ca. It might take a little bit of searching around.
Yeah,
but Len is. He's not an emotional guy outwardly. He is a cop. He's very much kind of point to point to point. But what he laid out last night is an indictment of the substance abuse program in the National Hockey League. There's no other way to put it. I think that spring people will remember that three guys died, right? Rick Rippon, and Derek Bugard, and then Wade Bielak. And we all kind of lumped them together and said, there's three enforcers. What does this mean about fighting in the NHL? What does it maybe mean about head injuries? And I think, we kind of dropped the ball there because, you had three very different situations, three guys who did kind of the same job, but different situations. And I think it kind of blurred some of the specifics. And if you look at the Bugard case specifically, and separate it from that and say, okay, what happened to this guy? Well, he killed himself by accident.
Yeah.
With booze and pills, but it's where those pills came from and why, a league with a program in which he was enrolled, to help people who have substance programs didn't help him. If anything, they hurt him. Those pills, the pills that killed him, who knows that night, but most of the drugs that Derek Bugard consumed came from team doctors in the National Hockey League. And again, Len Bugard, a cop, going through prescription records, going through phone records, has very meticulously and carefully documented that. And it's a horrifying story. It's an awful, awful story.
You could tell right from, and as any parent would be, which is not to suggest that other parents who lose a child aren't upset or looking for answers, but this one specifically, I remember at the time, because his brother was he played in the Western Hockey League and was with him at the time, and the parents, everything, you could tell they had questions, serious questions, immediately, and they weren't just going to let it die along with their son. And clearly, they, like you say, the former RCMP, he is back on the beat and he is looking for answers. I guess if you can walk us through some of what he had to say with you in terms of where they're at and what they hope to accomplish.
Well, I guess the key point is that Derek Bugard started using opiates, like oxycodone, pretty heavy painkillers when he got a tooth knocked out in a fight, and he got them from a dentist, and began eventually abusing painkillers along with sleeping pills, Ambien. Anybody knows NHL players, there's a lot of Ambien floating around in the NHL. A lot of hockey players use sleeping pills after games, to knock themselves out. That's just the truth. So there's a lot of that stuff floating around. But it became clear enough that Derek Bugard had a problem with those drugs, that he was identified in terms of the substance abuse program, and he was put into the substance abuse program. And this is, we've heard about this before. I just wrote the Jordan Tutu book. Jordan Tutu was sent to rehab by that program, dried out, and, you know, it worked for him. He went to rehab for 5 weeks. You know, Derek Boogaard was sent to exactly the same rehab facility in California that Jordan went to and essentially checked himself out 2 weeks later after having hardly been there. And there were no consequences for that. There were no consequences for failed drug tests later on. There were no consequences when people with the teams that he was with said, look, we think he's in trouble. You know, all of these points where red flags should have come up and the substance abuse program should have kicked in and he should have been suspended without pay because that's what's supposed to happen. You know, if you don't comply with the aftercare. You know, instead, you know, he was calling up team doctors, not just for the teams he played with, but teams, you know, when he was in New York, he called the Minnesota Wild doctor and said, hey, I need some, you know, pills. And, you know, sent him a text and the pills were waiting for him when he got off a plane. It is unbelievable the volume of drugs that this guy was given, you know, with the left hand apparently not knowing what the right hand was doing or not caring. And again, this is not kind of hyperbole. You've got a guy who, you know, in Len Boogaard, who has gone through this, who has gone through the records, who has found the pharmacy records. He can tell you exactly how many pills Derek Boogaard got on every, you know, and which day he got them and where they came from.
The pieces put together by Branch in the New York Times that you referenced were phenomenal. I remember reading them, and the depth of his addiction was so incredibly deep. Apparently, he had these little almost egg containers filled with pills that he would hide around the house because he couldn't have too many on hand. But when he needed some, he knew he could shuffle through the house and find them. I mean, this was a man that could not exist without pills.
No, he was an addict. You know, he was absolutely an addict. And he was grinding up sleeping pills and snorting them. You know, and like no one argues with the fact that Derek Boogaard was a drug addict. And that's what killed him. You know, that plus a lot of booze one night is what killed him. But the NHL knew he was a drug addict. You know, and the NHL has a program to help drug addicts. We've all heard about it, substance abuse, and it's a great thing that they have it, you know, jointly operated by the league and the Players Association. And it's got a whole bunch of rules about what's supposed to happen. So, and, you know, and I think what, you know, one of the things that happened here is that if, you know, teammates or coaches or general managers, you know, when you identify a guy to the program, it's just, you know, there's confidentiality involved, obviously. You know, you don't know exactly what's going to happen, you know, what goes on with the guy. Again, I know when Jordan was taken off to California, he didn't know where he was going, and his teammates didn't know where he was going. No one knew. That's part of the deal. So I think, you know, a lot of people in this drama, you know, who over and over again said, hey, we think this guy's in trouble. So, you know, we think he's back on something. When they reported him to the program, they assumed that he was being looked after. You know, they assumed that the rules were being followed, and they certainly assumed the team doctors weren't continuing to give him dope. You know, because I would, right? If you were, you know, I know everybody says, well, why didn't his teammates jump in or his coaches? Well, I think they thought the system was taking care of him, and I think that's what all of us would have thought. You know, but it wasn't.
And
you know, they let him down.
And what's interesting, or I guess difficult, is you always hear when there's a story like this, the saying always goes, well, it's going to take someone to die before they do anything. But we're now seeing players dying. The NHL, their culpability in this, at what point do you think that they, like often happens, finally sit up and say, all right, we are prepared to do something about this?
Well, that's a hell of a question because, you know, that there, you know, there is a lawsuit, right? And what's going to happen here, it appears, you know, is, you know, the Boogaard, they've sued the National Hockey League. But the NHL is fighting that lawsuit on the basis that, you know, Boogaard was, you know, part of a union. There's a collective agreement. You can't sue your employer outside of a collective agreement. You know, you can only grieve through the union. They did not file a grievance within the 60 days after his death that it would be required, so they have no recourse whatsoever. And that lawsuit may get thrown out without any discovery being done, without anything happening. And from the NHL's point of view, that it would appear that that will be the end of it. So, you know, someone, you know, unless they get very uncomfortable about the questions they're being asked here, and they should be, you know, this is one where somebody, you know, somebody has to answer. It's not that, again, they didn't kill Derek Boogaard. Hockey did not kill Derek Boogaard. The NHL did not kill Derek Boogaard. Derek Boogaard killed Derek Boogaard. Everybody understands that, but they could have saved him.
Indirectly, did fighting cause Derek Boogaard to kill Derek Boogaard?
I don't think so. You know, there's a side story about concussions and how many concussions he may have suffered. They found traces of CTE in his brain after he died. which is, you know, we've talked a lot about with NFL players. That may have affected his behavior, his impulse control. Might have been part of what, you know, made him more prone to addiction. You know, he had injuries caused during fights that certainly made him reach for painkillers, to which he became addicted. But again, we can go down all those roads if we want, and you know, there may be something there. But I still think the bottom line is this guy was a drug addict. They had a system that was supposed to help drug addicts. Everybody knew he failed tests. And, you know, why didn't the red flag go up? Why didn't they intervene the way they're supposed to intervene? Why didn't they, you know, I guess at a certain point you say you would, you know, throw your hands up and say there's nothing we can do for this guy. But, in you know, in the way that program is laid out, by then he would have been suspended, you know, for a long time without pay. None of that happened. None of that happened.
Great stuff. Again, like you say, if you just go on Google and search Len Bogaert, it will take you. I think the top story there in the news is the conversation that you guys had with him. So it's easy to find that way. Thanks for this, Steve, as always. Now, it is Halloween. Will you be handing out candy, or are you like Walter Matthau and Grumpy Old Men giving out boxes of Tide and staplers?
No, I will be handing out candy, and so any small children in the Hamilton area can come to my house.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're teenagers and you don't have a costume, I won't give you anything.
Right.
And then I'm going to go to a party where other people will be dressed in costumes, and I will be dressed as a dumpy old sports writer.
Yeah, that would seem to be a good one.
Thanks. Yeah, it's worked for me for years.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
See you guys.
Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Eastside Kia. The Gear Up and Save event is on. Save $5,000 on a 2014 Kia Sportage SX Turbo and receive no charge winter tires with your purchase. Visit eastsidekia.ca.
If you are interested in hearing that interview, we'll make it easier for you. Rather than search it, we'll put it on our Twitter account, the Boomer and Rhett Twitter account. We will have that link.